Hello and welcome to your GCSE History Revision Podcast. Today we are diving into one of the most dramatic topics on your specification, Russia and the Soviet Union, from 1917 to 1941. This topic has everything. A crumbling empire, a world war, two revolutions in a single year, and the rise of one of the most powerful political movements in modern history. If you understand the key causes, events, and individuals, you can absolutely smash the exam questions on this topic. Let's begin with the big picture. By 1917, Russia was in crisis. We need to think about both long-term causes, things building for decades, and short-term triggers that finally push the country over the edge. The long-term causes go back to Tsarist rule itself. Tsar Nicholas II was an autocrat. He ruled alone with absolute power and refused to share it. He believed he had been chosen by God to rule Russia, making him deeply resistant to political reform. Russia had a parliament called the Duma, but Nicholas frequently dissolved it when it disagreed with him. This created enormous resentment among educated Russians who wanted democratic change. At the same time, around 80% of the population were peasants, many farming using medieval methods. Industrial workers in cities like Petrograd worked 12-hour days in dangerous conditions for very low wages. Social inequality was extreme, and discontent was widespread. Now, here's where the First World War becomes absolutely crucial, and examiners really want you to understand this. The war acted as a massive accelerant. It took all of those existing problems and made them dramatically worse. Russia entered the war in 1914, and the military disasters were catastrophic. By 1917, Russia had suffered approximately 1.7 million soldiers killed, with a further 5 million wounded or taken prisoner. The army was poorly equipped. There were reports of soldiers being sent to the front without rifles. Morale collapsed. Back home, the war devastated the economy. Factories switched to war production, creating shortages of basic goods. By early 1917, bread was being rationed in Petrograd. Inflation soared. Ordinary people were hungry, cold, and exhausted. Nicholas made the catastrophic decision to take personal command of the army in 1915. This meant every defeat was now personally associated with the Tsar. His reputation was in freefall. Meanwhile, back in Petrograd, the government was being influenced by Rasputin, a mysterious holy man whose influence over government appointments caused a scandal and further undermined confidence in the regime. By February 1917, the situation was explosive. The spark came from a very ordinary place, bread queues. On the 23rd of February 1917, women workers in Petrograd went on strike to protest bread shortages. Within days, the strike spread across the city. Crucially, when Nicholas ordered the army to fire on the protesters, the soldiers refused and joined the revolution instead. The Duma refused to dissolve when Nicholas ordered it to, and on the 2nd of March 1917, Nicholas II abdicated. The 300-year-old Romanov dynasty was over. This is the February Revolution, and here is a really important point candidates often get wrong. The February Revolution was not organised by the Bolsheviks. It was a spontaneous uprising driven by ordinary workers and soldiers. Lenin was actually in exile in Switzerland at the time. Keep that distinction clear in your mind. After the Tsar abdicated, power passed to the provisional government, a temporary government made up of Duma politicians. And this is where we get to one of the most important concepts for your exam: dual control. The provisional government shared power, uneasily, with the Petrograd Soviet. Soviet Order No. 1, issued in March 1917, instructed soldiers to obey the provisional government only if the Soviet agreed. In practice, the provisional government could not command the army without Soviet approval. It was a fatal weakness. The provisional government made three critical mistakes. First, it decided to continue the war, hugely unpopular. Second, it postponed land reform, telling peasants to wait. Third, it had no democratic mandate. It had not been elected by the Russian people. Alexander Kerensky became prime minister in July 1917, but he could not solve the fundamental problem. The war continued, and the people wanted it to end.
Now, let's talk about Lenin and the Bolsheviks, because this is where the story really accelerates. Vladimir Lenin was the leader of the Bolsheviks, a radical Marxist party. In April 1917, the Germans arranged for Lenin to travel from Switzerland to Petrograd in a sealed train. Lenin arrived at the Finland station on the 3rd of April 1917 and immediately issued the April Theses. His slogan, Peace, Land, Bread, was brilliantly simple and directly addressed what ordinary Russians wanted. Bolshevik membership grew rapidly, from around 24,000 in February 1917 to over 200,000 by October. That is extraordinary growth in just 8 months. In July 1917, there was a premature uprising, the July Days. Workers and soldiers rose up, demanding the Soviets take power. When it failed, Lenin fled to Finland and Trotsky was arrested. It looked briefly as if the Bolsheviks were finished. But then came the Kornilov Revolt, the turning point that saved the Bolsheviks. In August 1917, General Kornilov marched his troops towards Petrograd in what appeared to be a military coup. Kerensky, terrified, released Bolshevik prisoners and armed the Red Guards. Kornilov's revolt collapsed, but Kerensky had destroyed his own credibility. The Bolsheviks emerged as heroes of the revolution. By September 1917, the Bolsheviks had majorities in both the Petrograd and Moscow Soviets. On the night of the 24th to 25th of October 1917, the Bolsheviks seized power. Trotsky, coordinating Red Guard units, seized key points across Petrograd: the telephone exchange, railway stations, the state bank, and bridges. The Winter Palace was surrounded and stormed. Kerensky fled the city. The seizure of power was swift, well-organized, and almost bloodless. Why did the Bolsheviks succeed? This is a classic exam question. First, the failures of the provisional government created the opportunity. By continuing the war and failing to deliver land reform, they had alienated almost everyone. Second, Lenin's leadership was crucial. His April Theses gave the Bolsheviks a clear popular program. Third, Trotsky's organizational genius was essential. He planned and executed the October seizure with military precision. Fourth, the Bolsheviks had a disciplined, organized party structure that other groups lacked. Right, now let's move to exam tips and common mistakes, because this is where marks are won and lost. The number one mistake candidates make is confusing the February and October revolutions. Remember, February was spontaneous, driven by ordinary workers and soldiers, and ended Tsarism. October was planned, organized by the Bolsheviks, and ended the provisional government. Two completely different events, 8 months apart. The second big mistake is failing to explain dual control properly. Soviet Order No. 1 is a specific piece of evidence you should always name. Third, don't attribute Bolshevik success solely to Lenin. Trotsky organized the actual seizure of power. Strong answers acknowledge multiple factors. For command words, explain why needs multiple explained causes linked together. How far do you agree needs a balanced argument with evidence on both sides and a clear judgment. Time for your quick-fire recall quiz. Question 1. In what month and year did the February Revolution begin? Short pause. February 1917, specifically the 23rd of February. Question 2. What was Soviet Order No. 1? Short pause. It instructed soldiers to obey the provisional government only if the Petrograd Soviet agreed. Question 3. What were the three key demands in Lenin's April Theses? Short pause. Peace, land, and bread. Immediate end to the war, land to the peasants, and power to the Soviets. Question 4. Who organized the October seizure of power on the ground? Short pause. Leon Trotsky, through the Military Revolutionary Committee. Question 5. What was the Kornilov Revolt, and why did it help the Bolsheviks? Short pause. General Kornilov marched on Petrograd in August 1917. Kerensky armed the Bolsheviks to stop him. This boosted Bolshevik credibility and destroyed Kerensky's reputation. To summarize today's podcast, Russia in 1917 was brought to revolution by long-term causes: autocratic Tsarism, poverty and inequality, and the short-term trigger of the First World War. The February Revolution ended Tsarism, but created an unstable dual control. The provisional government's fatal decision to continue the war, combined with Lenin's brilliant political leadership and Trotsky's organizational genius, allowed the Bolsheviks to seize power in October 1917. For your exam, use terms like dual control, Soviet Order No. 1, April Theses, and the Kornilov Revolt. Always explain causation, don't just describe events, and always reach a judgment in evaluation questions. You've got this. Good luck with your revision.